Fortify your applications with security. Visit fortify.com.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Larry speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now here's your host, Larry Allen.
Before I get into today's guest and we interview him, he's a good one. I think you're going to really enjoy our topics today. I want to remind you that nominations are open. Open indeed for the Excellence in Partnership Awards. If you know someone who has made a significant contribution to the procurement programs administered by the General Services Administration, or maybe you even consider yourself to be one of those people, this is your time to shine. Nobody else tells you you do a good job all year, but the Excellence in Partnership Awards does. To nominate yourself or nominate a colleague, maybe a government customer who's been very good to you for an Excellence in Partnership Award, check out everything you need to know at eipawards.org. That's eipawards.org, or give a call to the coalition at 202-331-0975, and Melissa King will take care of probably more than you needed to know about the Excellence in Partnership Awards. Nominations are open through the summer. As I promised, we have another terrific guest today. He is Alan Berman, Dr. Alan Berman, the former administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, currently the president of the Jefferson Solutions Group, someone who is well steeped in the areas of government procurement policy, called on frequently to testify before Congress, man about town, and we're happy to have him in this sector of our town. Alan Berman, welcome to Off the Shelf.
Thanks very much, Larry. Happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you in. It's been something that I've been working on doing for a little while now, so I'm glad our stars finally aligned. Let's jump in and talk a little bit about what's going on in the government marketplace today from a policy perspective. Lately, the presentations, at least the ones that I've been making, Dr. Berman, to government contractors have been saying that the current market marks a 20-year low point in how government contractors are viewed, at least by some in government. This isn't necessarily the easiest time to be a contractor, but let's get your views. What are your views on how contractors as a group are viewed today, and what's the impact of that view on effective acquisition?
Well, I do think that there's been a bit of a change over the last few years. I came into the procurement business back in the late 80s and early 90s, and I recall back then you were dealing with the ill wind crisis, lots of concerns about what contractors were up to. Senator Pryor was saying that they were having too much influence on running the government. It was very much an arm's length kind of a relationship. And then over the last 15 years or so, we've seen a progression into much more of a partnership, a kind of a, we're in this jointly together to get the job done. Now I see it kind of going back a little more to the arm's length kind of arrangement. The question of who's really in charge seems to come up. I think there is this concern that maybe the federal government has become too reliant on contractors and need to step back a little bit. So I get that sense of this kind of change in tenor of the relationship.
And that change in relationship, like the change in any relationship, has implications and an impact on how day-to-day business gets done. Certainly the government wants to maintain a proper role for contractors and good oversight of them. But especially if you're changing things, if you're changing the temperature of a relationship, that's going to have an impact. What is that impact for government and a little bit for their contractor partners?
Well, I think one of the benefits of the progression that we made over the last 20 years or so has been the advantage of good communications or better communications, an ability for both parties to have an opportunity to understand what they're looking for. And the more that communications chain is open, I think the better the result for the government. So anything that seems to move away from being able to get that kind of good word back and forth, or the ability to people to fully understand what's being desired on the part of the government, what the contractor can offer, I think that can ultimately have some negative effects on business outcomes. So I think it's important that as we maintain a relationship that's the proper one, that we not go too far down a path that looks like those doors are closing and that communications chain is closing.
In fact, as you alluded to earlier, in the 1990s, we had a time when suddenly communication exploded, and one of the reasons why was that the government was able then to have more meaningful discussions with contractors so that it could in turn frame its statements of work and requests for proposals and quotes in a better way, so that industry was better able to get them the solution that they really needed, as opposed to trying to have a government agency be an expert on every type of acquisition they were trying to do, and the contractor trying to guess sometimes at what it was that the government really wanted here. So now, if there are some chills put on communication, I think one of the concerns might be that we might go back to that time. One of the places that is really at the focal point of this discussion now happens to be your old stomping grounds, the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. What do you see as some of the top priorities coming out of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy that shape this arena, shape the types of communication specifically?
Well, I do think that there has been a recognition, not only in the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and the OMB White House complex, but also on the Hill, of the need to focus more directly on people in this business and the acquisition workforce in particular. And so clearly one effort that's coming out of OFPP is looking to see if there are some ways that we can do a better job of ensuring we've got enough people with the right skills and the right capabilities to really be performing that acquisition function. Over the last decade or so, we've seen a huge growth in money for contracting, from a couple hundred billion dollars to almost $600 billion. If you look at contracting staff, using the Federal Acquisition Institute's numbers, stayed around 60,000 people for the whole time frame. These are people that are a little bit beyond just contracting officers, but nevertheless, that stayed relatively static, and it seems to me that there has to be implications that aren't great when you don't have enough people to get all aspects of the job done well.
So one of the key challenges is the acquisition workforce. In fact, we've heard not just Dan Gordon, the head of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy currently, but Martha Johnson, the administrator of the General Services Administration, talk about staffing up the acquisition workforce and the requirements they have to do that. Always kind of interesting for me to hear. You talk to the man on the street, and they're like, well, government has however many million employees it has. Isn't it really time for us to downsize, and don't we have enough of these people? And the reality is, at least in terms of the acquisition workforce, the consensus belief is no, not really. We're talking this half hour to Alan Berman. Dr. Berman is the president of Jefferson Solutions Group, former administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Berman a little bit about the federal customers, the federal agencies, what's on their mind from the customer perspective. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Almost 70 years ago, a well-known Connecticut native named Homer Cummings had a dream to start a Washington law firm devoted to working at the intersection of America's business and government. As Attorney General for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he was an integral part of the New Deal. In 1956, Gilbert A. Cuneo joined Cummings' firm to begin what was quickly to become the largest and most successful government contract practice in the country, earning him the title the Godfather of Government Contracts. That same firm, McKenna, Long & Aldridge, today is recognized by Chambers USA as a Tier 1 government contract law firm, continuing its preeminence in the field through its offices in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Denver, and San Diego. With the oldest and largest government contracts practice in the United States, McKenna, Long & Aldridge still operates at the intersection of business and government. They produce solutions by working with their clients on creative and flexible strategies that ensure success. Their attorneys and professionals include former members of government, Congress, and its committees, so they know how Congress thinks and they understand how Washington works. There is no aspect of government contracts with which they are not familiar. In this uncertain economic climate, clients trust them to deliver solutions at costs that represent real value. From one new deal to another, they have remained at the forefront of government contracting. McKenna, Long & Aldrich, a name you can trust.
And welcome back to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, your host here every Tuesday at this exact time on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where we bring you the unrelentingly loyal listener in government and industry, the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement, and an exciting world it is. We always welcome your feedback here on Off the Shelf. If you have a show suggestion, if you have a question for my guest today, Dr. Alan Berman, maybe a question for me, we always love to hear from you. Each and every communication is read and most responded to. You can reach us here at the station at offtheshelf at federalnewsradio.com. That's offtheshelf at federalnewsradio.com. Keep those cards and letters coming. We love to hear from you. As I mentioned, my guest today is Dr. Alan Berman. Dr. Berman is the president of Jefferson Solutions, former administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, well-respected, well-renowned member of the Procurement Roundtable, I believe, right?
Absolutely.
So certainly somebody well-versed in procurement policy. Dr. Berman, as we went into the initial break, we were talking about insourcing and things that are going on in terms of the government market. One of the issues right now is, where do you draw the line between what constitutes something that is inherently governmental and what could be performed realistically by contractors? Recently, you testified before the Wartime Commission on Contracting on this issue, specifically as it pertained to the performance and role of private sector security guards in this realm. Tell us a little bit about what you told the commission and maybe a little bit about how they reacted to that.
The policy, Larry, is basically one that was put out in the early 90s. I signed the policy letter in 92 that identified what an inherently governmental issue was and an inherently governmental function was. It was essentially identified as something that was so intimately related to the public service that only federal employees should do the job. And that was translated into the Federal Acquisition Inventories Reform Act. So that's actually in law today. And then there are a number of examples that are in the Federal Acquisition Regulation that identify those things. Essentially, controlling government employees, making policy, deciding on budgets. But it also points out that there's lots of other things, gathering information, accepting advice, those kinds of things that a contractor can do, and then provide that help to the government as it performs that role. And essentially, the commission was asking the question, should private security contractors, and they're really talking about a wartime environment here,
right,
should they be considered performing an inherently governmental function? And we had a number of people on the panel from academia and from some of the associations and industry. And I think the general consensus of the panel was they shouldn't necessarily be identified across the board as inherently governmental, but rather you needed to look at this from a situational standpoint. What's the level of risk? What's the ability of the government to be able to do the job? And so it leans much more toward the new formulation that my old office is putting out to try to address this issue. Rather than an inherently governmental function, it should more be perceived as a critical function, and agencies should have the ability to decide who does it.
Right, and critical function could be defined on a more situational basis.
Exactly.
So we could give some opportunities.
And that was my recommendation. We'll have to see where the panel comes out.
Not a bad one, though, but I think it is worth noting, and regular listeners here on Off the Shelf know we've had Dr. Steve Schooner from George Washington on. And his point is a valid one. Even if you're in a wartime footing, you've got a number of contractors in theater to the point where you can't go to war without a sizable contractor support base, whether they're performing a back line security function or whatever it is that they're doing. One of the things I also promised as our listeners going into that break was in your current role, Dr. Berman, you work very closely with federal agencies as your customers. That puts you in a very good role to be able to understand a little bit about what some of those customer interests are and the pressure points that they are feeling. What's keeping federal managers up at night right now, and where are these drivers coming from?
Well, certainly in the acquisition community, there's been a lot of pressure on the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the ARRA, and the need to provide stimulus funds out to the country, and a real issue in terms of having enough people to get these contracts out and get these dollars put into distribution in the economy. And so I'd say a lot of the people in the acquisition world and people managing those agencies are worrying about making that happen and getting those funds out, making it done before the end of September of this fiscal year. So that's clearly one thing that people have been worrying about that's been driving the acquisition community. The other issue is the insourcing issue as well, the question about are we relying too much on contractors? Should we be doing something different in terms of whether or not government employees or private sector contractors should be doing particular jobs, and then thinking through how that might be done. Clearly, defense is going down that path right now, and civilian agencies are too.
Well, I know the Department of Defense specifically has taken a long, hard look at the role of contractor support, specifically in the acquisition function, and looking at ways to maybe bring some things back in, and then where do you find those people? That's not always the easiest question to answer, is it?
It definitely is not. And that's one of the things that we've been finding. We do a lot of reviews of agency acquisition operations, and you know, to try to find some senior contracting person to bring them in, there are just not that many around. So essentially what's happening is you pull somebody from another agency. That's
right.
The way to do it.
Right. And while there are things underway like the VA Academy trying to train new legions of contracting officers, that takes time. And you know, looking at some of the people that we see in the coalition at GSA, I think may be representative of others as well. And that is, you have a number of long-term senior career people, and then behind them you have some young up-and-coming GS-12s, and then you have in the middle in that GS-13 rank, maybe GS-14 rank, it's pretty thin.
Right. They call that a bathtub effect, and I think that's essentially what you're seeing. There's a lot of people at the front end and a lot of people at the back end, but that middle is not that filled out.
And so that's kind of a more of a traditional stressor, as is the year-end buying season that we're upon. The business about insourcing, not necessarily traditional, but nevertheless very, very real. How about Congress? How much does the average person that you work with in the agency feel pressured by Congress to do or not do some things?
I do think that there are concerns, but the kinds of concerns for the acquisition community these days tend to be more on the issues of personnel, Congress looking to see whether or not they're adequately doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. Not so much pressures on agencies to do particular kinds of things for specific contractors, that sort of thing. I mean, I do think I see some pressure against the earmark approach that's been so prevalent in the past.
Yeah, that's a big issue right now. We are talking this half hour on Off the Shelf with Dr. Alan Berman. He is the president of the Jefferson Solutions Group. When we come back, I want to continue our conversation with Dr. Berman, talk a little bit about acquisition management and the role that that plays in making sure that the government is getting good outcomes regardless of who performs the function. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Nominations for the Excellence in Partnership Awards are open. Here's your chance to recognize innovation and excellence in the contracting programs of the General Services Administration. Nominate that company that's gone the extra mile in supporting a government agency. Nominate that GSA representative who calls on your office and provides support. Nominate your own agency to recognize your innovative use of GSA to meet your agency's mission. Winners will be announced at the EIP Awards on November 1st. Go to EIPAwards.org and nominate someone today. That's EIPAwards.org.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and your host here, right here every week on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where we bring you the fanatically loyal listener, the very latest in the world of commercial solutions procurement. We welcome your participation here on our show. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we are holding nominations now for the Excellence in Partnership Awards. If you or someone you know has made a significant contribution to the contracting programs for the General Services Administration, maybe you're a customer, maybe you're a contractor, or maybe you work for GSA itself, this is a great time for you to get a little recognition that you deserve. Check out everything you need to know about nominating people on eipawards.org. That's eipawards.org, or call Melissa King at 202-331-0975. She's really going to enjoy the fact that I continuously give out her office number on the air, but that's what happens when you work for me. My guest this half hour is Dr. Alan Berman. Dr. Berman is the president of the Jefferson Solutions Group here in Washington, former administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, part of the Office of Management and Budget. We've been talking to Dr. Berman this half hour about current procurement policy topics like insourcing, particularly insourcing, as well as the relationship between contractors, the contracting community, and their government customers, and what that is like today, because it's not the same as it used to be. As we went into that last break, Dr. Berman, I promised our listeners a discussion about acquisition management. And here we go. We talk a fair amount on Off the Shelf about proper acquisition management and working for good government outcomes overall. What, in your opinion, if anything, might be missing from the current priorities that are being put forth either by Congress or the administration that could play a critical role in the effective performance of government agency missions?
That's a tough question. It'd be nice to solve that problem, Larry.
I should have asked it first.
The one thing that I think that has come out of lots of reviews and lots of studies by agencies themselves, by IGs, by the Government Accountability Office, has been that you get good procurements when you get the front end of the process done well, and people know what they want, they get the right people together, they think through things, and then they put in place a good program to go ahead and seek that contractor support. And one of the issues that I've found to be troublesome over the years has been when you run into this problem of an over-the-transom relationship between contracting officers, the contracting shops, and the program staff of the agencies. They both need one another, and they're both really, it's important that they work very closely together. And it's the program staff that has to be out there defining what it is that they're really looking for. And it's the contracting people that have to put together that program to make sure that you get the result that you're trying to achieve. And so getting them to collaborate, getting both parties to recognize that this is a joint endeavor, and getting the program side in particular, and this is on the civilian agencies in many respects, perhaps a little more than in the defense world, to getting them to know that they are part of an acquisition workforce that's critical to getting good results. I think that message is still a message that needs to be hammered home to a lot of folks.
Hammered home, and I think your point is a good one. There are lots of people that are responsible for good outcomes. The acquisition workforce certainly has a large role to play, but they are by no means the only player here. When we're talking about management, fundamentally we're talking about making sure that there's enough oversight and driving motivation to ensure that regardless of who performs a function, whether it's performed by a contractor or a government employee, that the taxpayer is getting good value, that the agency is meeting its mission, things of that nature, right?
Absolutely.
So, to a certain extent, some of the people I've spoken with are like, well, insourcing, critical function, those all have a role in the discussion, and those all are good things that should be talked about. But really what we're talking about here are good management outcomes and making sure that we've got the people, because that's a common thread, who are in place to be able to perform them. It's not just the people, is it? It's also a question of making sure that the people who are supposed to be performing those functions are properly incentivized to do it, right?
Incentivized, well-trained, recognizing the job as important and strategic. Because so many agencies these days, when you look at how they get their job done, it's through contracted support. And so where perhaps in the past people might have thought that they're doing the job themselves, federal employees, for the most part, they're not. They're really relying on somebody else to do it. And so someone who has as a responsibility what we call a contracting officer's technical representative
right.
role, this is the program person that's overseeing whether or not the contractor's doing the job properly. They have to understand both what they're doing, they have to be well-trained in doing it, and they have to recognize that doing that job is critical to getting those good outcomes. And I agree with you completely that's as important as the front end of the process as well, making sure somebody at the back end of the process is reviewing it, managing it, and giving good reports back to the agency on what's being done.
Yeah, that particular part of it sometimes gets lost in the shuffle, and it's not necessarily because there aren't good technical representatives out there. Some of the times, the same issue we have with the acquisition workforce. It's simply not enough trained people.
Right.
It speaks to a larger issue, and this is the one I actually want to close our time with today, and that is that the government acquisition landscape overall is pretty fluid. If you're an outside observer, man on the street, woman on the street, you may not be aware that that's the case. Tragically, those of us who are in the arena know that it is very fluid. Priorities have changed recently, even before the current administration came into office, Dr. Berman. What do you think acquisition will look like even 3 years from now? Are we in for more rules, fewer contractors given the insourcing discussion? How does the government keep alive its desire for innovation and dynamic outcomes and still balance its core drivers of oversight?
I think that there is going to be more interest in the next couple of years in seeing that the government does have the robust capability in-house to do some of the things that may have been given to contractors to do over the last few years. So I do think that there'll be some changes, but when you think about the total level of contractor support, I think that those changes are not going to be major changes in terms of how the government is going to get its business done. So I'd say that's a more of a nuanced change. And the one thing that has been a major shift in how the government has done its business over the last 20 years has been this shift to focus on outcomes and solutions and have contractors be able to come and bring their solutions to the government, a best value approach to getting the job done. And frankly, I don't see that making much of a change. I think we're going to continue to do that.
So some things to look forward to, maybe some things that will look familiar. I want to thank Dr. Alan Berman, president of Jefferson Solutions, for being my guest this half hour. It was great to have you on.
Thank you very much, Larry. Happy to be here.
Overdue for doing this, so I'll reserve the right to call you back at some point. I want to thank you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to Off the Shelf this half hour. Join us again next week as we continue our discussion in the world of commercial solutions procurement right here on Federal News Radio. 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.